What a spirit. What a presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. You turn 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 for the word of God this morning. I'm already looking forward to what God is going to do, not only in this service, but in the service tonight. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Amen. If you'd stand for the reading of God's word. I'll be reading three verses this morning. But of the times and seasons, brethren and sisters, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly well that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace accords, peace talks, things getting better. When they shall say, peace and safety. I'm not going to make it during the preaching, but I want you to notice the sub change here. He said, I write unto you, verse 2, yourselves, you know, but when they say, that's another group. We're not in that group. Aren't you glad you're not in that group? When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you know the times and the season. They shall not escape, but you know the times and the seasons. Look at verse 2. Here's going to be the title of the message. Latter part of verse 2, he said, the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. I want to preach to this morning on the day of the Lord so cometh. The day of the Lord so cometh. We cannot assign a specific date to Christ's coming, but we can tell when things are lining up to make it likely he is going to come. And when he comes, he is going to usher in the day of the Lord. I want to tell you, church, the day of the Lord so cometh. The day of the Lord. Heavenly Father, shut up our hearts to the truth. Speak to us as a church. Speak to individuals. Whatever the need is, Lord, here this morning, meet that need. Save someone. May the power of the Holy Spirit be present throughout the preaching of the word. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Before we had electronic organizers for years, I used one of those big calendar mats that go on the top of your desk. How many have seen those? About 2 feet wide. And I'd fill in all the boxes with the church dates. And on my desk in my study, almost every square was filled up with some event, something that needed to be done, some service. And I walked in there one day, I noticed someone had been writing on my calendar. And it was my wife. She had found a blank square, and she had written in it, spend time with your wife. In other words, this day is going to be my day. We may not know just exactly where it is, but the Lord has selected a day on the calendar of time. And he has said, this day is going to be my day. Lately, Sandra got a new phone, and I went on the internet to made her a Google site. And I invited the church calendar, which you can do as well. And all the events of the church calendar automatically went to her Google calendar. And then her Google calendar synced with her phone. I said, look at your phone now. You have all the church. And she's always asking me, what's on this day? What's on that day? Because I have the church. I said, look now, on your phone, all the church events and dates are on your phone. Now you won't have to ask me anymore. You'll know when to schedule your thing. I wasn't being smart. I was being helpful. But I said, you'll know when to schedule your thing. Now here's the thing about the day of the Lord. Amen. We don't know which day, amen, to put in there. there and to assign the event to. But what we need to do, since we don't know the day, we just need to treat every day like it could be his day. We need to treat every day like it was the day that the Lord is coming again. In fact, there was a song that said, this could be the day. This could be the end of my race. This could be the day I see him face to face. This could be the day I hear him say, well done. This could be the day that the Lord will come. How many knows that every day could be the day of the coming of the Lord? Hallelujah. I want to be ready, don't you? I'm preaching this morning that God has an agenda. God has scheduled a day when he's going to wrap things up. God has scheduled a day to judge the wicked, a day to reward the righteous, a day to shut the door on the age of grace and repentance, a day to destroy the rebellious of armies of the earth, a day to show his glory and his splendor, a day to set up his kingdom on earth, a day to exact penance of all of those who flaunt their sin in his face. It'll be a day when he'll bring final and complete victory over Satan and sin and wickedness. It'll be a day that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is the resurrected Lord. I'm telling you, the day of the Lord cometh. It's his day, and his day is coming. Hallelujah. I want to ask some questions this morning. First of all, what is the day of his coming? There's a little indication, not only in verse 2 when it's called the day of the Lord, but in verse 3 when it says, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Sometimes we say to a bride, this is your day, your big day. It's about you. Amen. The day of the Lord is his day. A person's day is when it's all about that person and what they desire. And the day of the Lord is about day when it's all about him and what he desires. It's the day that God takes the stage on the events of this world. It's the day when God will be the center of attention. Forever I shall see him. Hallelujah. And all the kindreds and tribes of the earth shall wail because of him. It's the day when God is going to do his thing. Hallelujah. It's the day when God will be vindicated as righteous and holy. It's the day that God will be seen in his glory. It's the day when God will answer every challenge, put down every rebellion. Oh, we used to sing, there's a great day coming, a great day coming, a great day coming by. We're singing, the Lord's day's coming, the day when he steps on the scene. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a day when God intervenes directly and with finality in the events of man. It's a day when God's going to give victory to his people over their enemies. It's a day when God's going to judge the wicked and exact of them for their wrongdoing. It's a day of terror and a day of destruction and a day of devastation. It's a day when God the general, amen, mounts his steed, leads the armies of heaven. You say, that don't sound too exciting. That sounds negative. Oh, it's not negative when you realize that part of that day is when he comes after his people so we can join him on his day, on his entrance onto the scene of human events. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the day of the Lord. Amen. I'm going to read a few scriptures, and these are important, so I just want you to stay with me just a little bit as we see what the scripture says about the day of the Lord. It's a day when man is humbled and God is exalted. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 11. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Isaiah Isaiah 2:12, "For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low." Isaiah 13:6, "How ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand, shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt." Even Isaiah 13:8, "And they shall be afraid. Pains and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. And he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible." I'm telling you, when I read that, first of all, I want to remind us that this is a coming day. This, as true as God's prophecy is, this is going to happen. And second of all, we don't have to be on the receiving end of all of this. We can be in the company of the redeemed, the blood washed, the church, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ. Hallelujah! It'll be a glorious day for the children of God. The day of the Lord is a day when God returns to every man his injury, mockery, rebellion, scoffing, and rejection of God. Isaiah 34:8, "For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompense for the controversy of Zion." Jeremiah 46:10, "For this is the day of the Lord God of hosts, a day of vengeance, that he may avenge him of his adversary, and the sword shall devour, it shall be satiated and made drunk with their blood. For the Lord God of hosts hath a sacrifice in the north country by the river Euphrates." It's a terrible day. The day of the Lord is a terrible day when God unleashes his anger in judgment. Lamentations 2:22, "Thou hast called us a solemn day, my terrors round about, so that in the day of the Lord's anger none escape nor remain. Those that have swaddled, I have swaddled and brought up, hath my enemy consumed." Zephaniah 1:8, "And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel." That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Listen to this. I know it may be a wise thing, but everybody's buying up silver and gold. But listen to what it says. Zephaniah 1:18, "Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell on the land." Zephaniah 2:2, "Before the decree bring forth, before the days pass as a chap, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you." Verse 3, "Seek ye the Lord, all you meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger." I'm already hid. I'm hid under the blood. I'm hid in the cleft of the rock, Christ Jesus. I'm hid in the sea of God, forgetfulness of my sin. I'm glad I'm already healed from the day of the Lord. I'm talking about the day of the Lord. What is it? Amen. Just a few more scriptures. It's a time of unprecedented terribleness and terror. One of the common fares of movie makers today is apocalyptic movies, the end of the world. I'm telling you, I don't watch those, but if you have, as bad as they portrayed it, they have not in those apocalyptic movies even began to portray how terrible and horrible it's going to be on earth.
in the day of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. You say you're depressing me. I hope not. I'm preaching about Jesus who's made a way of escape. I'm talking about one who's made a way. We can be prepared. We don't have to go through that and the terrible things that that involves. How horrible is it? Joel 2:10. The earth shall quake before them. Anybody hear anything about earthquakes lately? As that one authority said, I've already quoted him, you ain't seen nothing yet. Amen. He said the earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining, and the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he's strong that executeth his word. Here it is, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Verse 30, and I will show wonders in heaven and earth, blood and fire, pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and terrible day of the Lord come. And multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened and stars shall withdraw their shine. You say that's all Old Testament. I beg to differ with you, because Peter and the day of Pentecost, the first message to the church, he took this as a text and he said it's no longer Old Testament, it's New Testament. The day of the Lord's coming, the sun's going to be darkened, the moon turned into blood. And that's why Peter said, I'm preaching Jesus to you. Hallelujah. He's the way of escape. He's the way to be saved from the day of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amos 5, shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light? Second question, how is the day of the Lord coming? Our text says in verse 2, for yourselves know perfectly well that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. How'd they know that? Because that's what Jesus said. Jesus looked at his disciples and said, my coming is going to be like a thief in the night. How is his coming like a thief? A thief comes unexpectedly. Hallelujah. Nobody's ever been robbed at your home or your automobile. Did you receive a phone call several days prior? Say, yes, hello, I'm your local neighborhood thief. I just wanted you to know, on April the 11th, at 11:30 in the evening, I'll be coming to rob your house. This is your friendly reminder. Did that happen to anyone that got robbed? No, because the thief comes unexpectedly. Jesus is coming soon, but you can't put it on the calendar. It could be right now. He comes as a thief. A thief comes suddenly. He moves with speed. He's here and then he's gone. That's the way it's going to be with the church. He's going to be here, and they're going to meet him in the church will meet him in the sky. Hallelujah. A thief usually leaves destruction and loss. I hate to see messes. And I understand most thieves make a mess as they're looking for valuables. They pour out drawers. They pull things off the wall. They pose sometimes looking for things. They leave destruction. They break the door, break the locks, break the window. Amen. It's going to be destructive in the day of the Lord to the wicked. And then a thief takes something with him. I tell you what, the Lord is going to come as a thief. What he's taken with him, it's his jewels. It's his redeemed. It's the born again. He's going to come like a thief in the night. That's why you're more cautious at night to keep the doors locked. You're more cautious when you're going to be away. You don't know that a thief is coming, but you know those are times that are conducive to his coming. Nighttime is conducive to his coming. Amen. All of those times when you're away, that's why you're extra cautious. Look, I can tell you, Brother Wilson, that the Lord is coming today. But when I look around me, I can tell it's a conducive time for him to come. I want to be ready, don't you? Amen. Next question, when is the day of the Lord coming? We're dealing a little bit with that, but look at verse 1. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. And that's what Paul said. He said, you already know what I'm talking about because I told you. The sad thing is, he'd have to say to a lot of churches and people today, you have no idea about the times and the seasons. You've been raised in church. You have no idea about the times. And I do need to write unto you about the times and the seasons. Why? Because the doctrine of the second coming of Jesus is becoming obsolete in many of our churches. Amen. You no longer hear it preached. I'm not going to get on that hobby horse. I'm just going to tell you one more time that his second coming is as much of the gospel as his first coming. And we do need to know about the times of the seasons. What did he mean about that, about the time and the season? How are those different? A time is a specific date. It's a specific date. What did Paul say they knew about the time, the specific day? Here's what they knew. Jesus said, you cannot set a specific date. Jesus said, no man knows the day or the hour. I don't care if it's a Jewish rabbi. I don't care if it's a preacher that can quote the whole Bible. I don't care how many archaeological digs they've been at. If they start setting a date, they are a false teacher. They are a false preacher. Because Jesus said, no man knows the day or the hour. Therefore, some folks said, well, he just won't ever going to come. No, it's not what he's saying. The time is the specific date, but the season is the kind of time. And whereas Jesus said you cannot know the specific date, Jesus said you can know the season. Look at the fig tree when it begins to bud, and you know that his coming is near. I can't put a date on the calendar, but Jesus said I can look around and say this is the kind of time. This is the season in which the Lord could come again. Though I can't jot down the date and put it on Google and sync it with my phone, even I can look at the sign of the time and say this is a season that the Lord could come. While back there was a movie 2012 based on the Mayan calendar. The Mayan calendar, it's a round thing. It ended at 2012. And a lot of people in the world never darkened the church door, said, well, the world's going to end in 2012 because the Mayan calendar ended in 2012. I'm only going to say two things about that. Number one, how did they just know that was as far as they made the calendar? You can get a calendar that says 2010 through 2011. Just because you look and the last date is December 2011, you don't go, oh, the world's going to end. And the second thing, if the Mayans were so accurate in predicting the end of the world, how come they didn't predict their own demise? I'm not making fun of Mayans. I'm making fun of people that will take something like some sensational conspiratory theory and start talking about the end of the world and refuse to read the Bible and look at what the Bible says are signs of his coming. I can't set the date, but I can tell by the seasons that Jesus could come again. You see, because of that, we don't need signs, any more signs for Jesus to come. There doesn't need to be one more sign fulfilled before Jesus comes. He come today. Amen. The signs tell us the season, not the specific date. I said the signs tell us the season and not the specific date. That's why throughout history, like the New Testament Christians, they were not in error to believe the Lord was coming soon because they looked around them and the season was as such. There was a one world government, Nero, he was killing Christians. Amen. There was a one world power and all of this. They were in a season when the Lord could have come again. Amen. I believe that. Look what it says in verse 3. For when they shall see peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. In other words, the coming of the Lord is like a woman giving birth. Now here's the thing, and I'll spare you in discretion the details, but though a woman with child can tell that her time is coming near, she can never write on the calendar when that child is going to be born. The doctor can try to do that with his science. He didn't say your child's going to be born on August 31st and it might be August 27th or August 32nd or September 1st. Amen. You can't write down the specific time. You know the time is about to come. And just because I can't give you a specific date of Christ's coming does not mean I cannot look at our world and say that the time is near. As travail upon a woman with child, the way that works, there's always a false alarm. A woman says, well, I believe this is time, but that passes, that goes away. Then there comes another time, there's another pain, and she says, well, you know, this is a time, but that goes away. But here's the point, one of those times she feels a pain and said, this is the time, that is the time. And that's the way it happens in the course of history. We as the church, we read our Bibles, we see as Jesus talks about in Matthew 24, the beginning of birth pain, and we say, this is it. But then there's a subsiding. That doesn't mean it's not going to come. One of these times when you hear about a new war in the Middle East, one of these times when you hear for another cry for a one world government, it is going to be the time. And if you look around, that's the kind of world we live in. It's always about to happen, like the sword in the myth hanging over the throne of my horsehair that could break at any time. Like the tectonic plates, tension building up as they rub together, and suddenly there's a slip, and there is an earthquake like we just had in Japan. That tension's been building for decades and centuries. And I'm telling you, the tension of human history and events, like tectonic plates, has been building and building and building and building, and suddenly one day there's going to be a slip and the day of the Lord is going to come. Can you say amen? I'm about done. Let's begin with a few more scriptures here. Ezekiel 30 verse 3. For the day of the Lord is near, even the day of the Lord is near, a cloudy day. It shall be the time of the heathen. Amen. Ezekiel 30 and 4. And the sword shall come. Joel 1:15. Last for the day. For the day of the Lord is at hand. Each of these verses show how it's always imminent. It's always soon to happen. Joel 2:1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm in my holy mountain. And all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord cometh. For it is nigh at hand. Obadiah 1:15. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. Zephaniah 1:7. Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God. For the day of the Lord is at hand. Zephaniah 1:14, the great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteneth greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord. And the New Testament apostles picked it up. And Peter said, the day of the Lord is at hand. They said, the day is short. Amen. One more time before we move forward to a close. I want to give you an illustration. We're approaching tornado season, right? Amen. You'll have on your screen or on your radio, it'll come across, the signal will be sounded, tornado watch. You know what that means? That means they can't tell you of a certainty that there is going to be a tornado. But that tornado watch means the conditions have developed so that they're favorable for a tornado. And so this alarm goes off over here, and you go hiding, or the warning comes, or the watch notice is given, and you go to your cellar, you go to the hallway, you put a pillow over your head. But some time goes away and the wind goes on and the wind quits blowing and the sun comes out and they take the notice off. Were you an idiot because there was no tornado? Were you an idiot to take cover? Were you an idiot to take note of the notice? No, because the conditions were such as there very likely could have been a tornado. And even because there was not, doesn't mean you were a fool. You were wise. Brother Will, you heard people when you were a young man, your age now, talking about the coming of the Lord being soon. They died. They've been in the grave for years. Were they mistaken? No, sir. They looked around and the conditions were favorable for His coming. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it's going to be that way. And the way I look at it, when I look around, when I listen to the news, when I hear the leaders talk, I'm telling you, we need a warning. We need a watch. The coming of the Lord is near. If He don't come tomorrow, that doesn't mean I was wrong or you were wrong. Because it says the conditions are ripe for His coming. I grew up in Oklahoma. I hate to admit this, but I hardly pay attention to tornado watches. I've heard them so often, so many times, I hardly pay attention to them.
And that could be dangerous because one could catch me. Amen. You see, I've heard this all my life. You can get careless. It's like I do with the tornado. See, I don't need to pay attention to it. I've heard this all my life. I heard it in Sunday school. I heard it when I was young. I've heard all those tornado watches. It's liable to take you by surprise. Every time the Holy Spirit stirs up by our looking into the Word that the Lord's coming, we need to take note. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Last of all, how to be prepared for the day of the Lord that is coming. Amen. Peter, on that first day, preached and used Joel for the text in Acts 2:20. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a message. I like to talk about Bible prophecy, but too many are only interested in the sensation of it. But the purpose of Bible prophecy is that we might prepare. I want to see folks get saved. Amen. I read about that man that called his pastor. He said, "Pastor, my wife has left me. My car engine blew up during a wreck I just had. I'm facing serious surgery. I've got mortgages due on the house, 3 months due. My kids won't talk to me. And I'm at the lowest point of my life. I need help, Pastor. Could you tell me if the Lord's coming is going to be pre-trib or mid-trib or post-trib?" With the kind of needs that he has, knowing those details about prophecy isn't going to solve anything. And if you're lost, if you don't know Jesus, if you've heard it but you're not prepared, all the details, the sensational details of prophecy, it's not going to help you be prepared. But I tell you what will. Peter, when he talked about the sun being darkened and the moon turning to blood, you know what he said? He said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Not whoever crawls on glass, broken glass on their knee. Not only who jumps through this hoop, that hoop, but like Peter when he was sinking, cried out, "Lord, save me." And the Lord reached down and grabbed Peter's hand and lifted him back on top of the wind or the waves of that sea. I'm telling you, if you're lost, if you're not ready for the coming of the Lord, I'll tell you how you can be ready. Call on his name and he'll save you. He'll change your life. He'll give you a new beginning. He will change your life inside it. Oh, I'm glad I can preach that. I'm not just preaching this earth is going to end in a fiery inferno. I'm preaching you can be saved. Whosoever will shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it hit me, Brother May, yesterday afternoon. We limit this to initial salvation. Call on the name of the Lord, you'll become born again. But I'm convinced to be ready for the coming of the Lord, it's not just calling on him that initial time of salvation, but it's calling on him every day of our lives. I need to be saved. I call on the name of the Lord and he's saved. But I'm going to be ready for the coming of the Lord because every day I'm calling on him. Come on, church, every day. I'll tell you how we can be ready for the day of the Lord. Every day call on him. Young people, are you ready for the coming of the Lord? Make it a practice every day to sincerely call upon the name, because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, I want to be in that number, don't you? Amen. Music, would you come? We were down there in Neosho, and I had a friend that asked me if I had heard about the bluffs. Some of you will know about this. Down by Knoll, Missouri, about 20 miles south of Neosho, the Elk River used to carve to the side of the hill. That was the best place above the river to build the road, if I remember right, Highway 59. They built the road where the river used to be, had carved into that hillside. And you could be driving and you could look up, and the bluffs totally went over the top of the road. The water had caved out underneath, and they would tell. And I don't know, you know what I'm talking about, Rusty? When I always drove, how many's ever driven into a parking garage in a hired vehicle and you saw the concrete girders there, and even though you knew the height said it was high enough, every time you went under one, you Does anyone else have that sensation, or is that just me? And you drive under these bluffs and you drop from underneath them. I've been on a canoe on that river looking up those bluffs and saying, they got to fall one day. Well, just recently there was an earthquake you read about in the papers in Arkansas, and it shook that old hillside and those bluffs fell. I thought about all the times, whether driving or on the canoe, I said, those bluffs have got to fall someday. But I also had another thought. I don't want to be on that highway underneath them when they fall. I want to be in a different place. If the day of the Lord were to happen today, would you really want to be in a different place than you are right now? Would you think about it? If the day of the Lord happened today, would you rather be in a different place than you are right now? Talk about spiritually. I want to tell you, if you have to answer that affirmatively, I want to tell you today, you can get in a different place. You can get in the ark of safety. You can get every sin underneath the blood, and you can be ready for His coming. Let's stand and stretch forth our hands towards heaven. Let's praise Him. Oh, what a great day. Let's praise Him that He's made a way that we can be prepared. We can be ready. Oh, let's praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. If you're here this morning, you're not in a place of preparation. You're not in a place of salvation. I want to invite you to come. If there's any doubt in your mind that you're not prepared for that day, I want you to come right now. Would you come? Say, I want to be ready. I want to be ready. Are you here? Amen. You want to be ready. You want to be prepared. You're not in a place. If that bluff were to fall right now, you'd be underneath it. You say, I want to be in a different place than where I'm at right now. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. All right, hallelujah. Let's praise Him all across the building. If you would be ready for His coming. Oh, let's praise Him. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, let's spend a season of prayer right now. Amen. Let's have a season of prayer right now. Hallelujah. 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 God, talk to us. God, speak to us by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, make it real. Help us to be looking for the return of Christ. Lord, as You went away, Your angels, Your messengers said, You're coming again in like manner as we have seen You go. Lord, help us to look for Your return. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. If you could remain standing for just a moment, and I'm going to ask the board to go ahead and come to the platform. I want to ask our members to stay here in a moment. We're so glad for everyone to come. And let's just take a moment, members, before we move into the meeting. Amen. Shake hands with several around you and find some of our visitors and shake their hand. And during this time, after we've had a time of fellowship, thank you for coming, visitors, and we hope you come again. And members, if you just take on here for a few minutes.